As Dan shared, I am very passionate about my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what God has really impressed upon me over my walk is really getting the Church of Jesus Christ to really become the body of Christ. To really become the body of Christ. As Thurlow was sharing about the Ebola crisis, all I could think of was that if one part suffers, all suffer. Sometimes we're out of sight, out of mind. But where one part suffers, all suffers. One part rejoices, all rejoice. So it was great to hear Patricia talk about her grandmother and rejoice in that. We can rejoice in all of that. So I really believe that Dan gave an excellent word last week about what it meant to be a team in the body of Jesus Christ. That is why team to me is very important for me at Northgate. We emphasize that a lot. Particularly, we emphasize the plurality of leadership among the pastoral team. We recognize that we are the under-shepherds to the great shepherds of Jesus Christ. We are just so here. We're just here basically serving you, but we are serving the great shepherd himself. We want to hear from him. And I remember when I was lead pastor here, individuals were trying to persuade me to become the one-man show. The one-man show. And I struggled with that concept. I really struggled with it a lot in my concept. And I remember Thurlow at that time was in Texas. He was being in Texas there, and I would have many conversations. Because I really felt that the glory needed not to be given to a man, but to be given to God.
Amen.
Be given to God. And basically, I was called upon at that particular time to lead the church at that particular time. And the last person to lead the church was me. In church, unless God placed me here, because I didn't have the qualifications, I didn't have anything there. But God wanted me to do that. And I knew I had a team of eldership around me that was there to support me and to be a part of that pastoral team. But at that particular time, the ministry that we were relating to at that particular time, I really wanted to set the, as a set man per person, be that one person there. So Thurlow and I had many discussions about that, and we eventually reiterated our stance that we wanted to have the plurality of leadership, that we wouldn't be a one-man show, that we'd be all together in the way we talked. And it's been great ever since. The roles might have changed, but the concept still remains. The roles might have changed, and I think the roles have changed in a great way. But I think the concept still remains the same. Years ago, a friend of mine described the body of Christ as the granola church. And I asked him, what did that mean? He said, well, we're made up of fruits, nuts, and flakes. I'll let you determine who you are. We come from all walks of life to serve the Lord. That's the key for what do we do in the body of Christ. It is to bring glory to God. It's not a one-person show. It is all of us working together. It's all of us working together. So this now leads to the next phase as we're talking about our series about the body of Christ and body life, just a body life ministry, to show the impact of this body, to show just what God has been doing in this body. Vance knew that I wanted to preach. Vance knew that I wanted to preach. So this might be my last sermon this year. It might be my last sermon I preach this year. And to help me get that, and since I get tired and why I have this stool, many times, there were times when I was with work and Sue's with me and says, why are you standing up? She makes us go sit down. But he, to help me get through this, he gave me an outline to work off of. And I want to really thank Vance for that. So I'm going to use his outline and some thoughts of my own. So basically, you're getting two for one. So let's look at Romans 12, 4 through 8. Look at Romans 12, 4 through 8, because we're going to be talking about the motivational gifts. The motivational gifts. Yeah, I love the last song that we sang up there about Tim sang, and I forget now the words, but it talked about really walking through faith and walking through the valley. One thing I didn't share with you about the whole thing, the doctor did come in after the whole procedure there, and he says the T cells that are supposed to be growing are not growing as fast. So that was discouraging, because I was ready for a schedule to happen. I already had my fedora hat picked out. I wanted to have my fedora hat and everything else like that, all that done. And so basically he said they might grow a little faster, and the whole white blood cells might do that. But I know we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and even though we get discouraged, we still have to trust God And God's really impressed upon me about that the last couple of days, to really trust Him into what He's doing. So anyway, let's look at the Romans 12, 4 through 8. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know, a key section of this verse is that these gifts are given according to His grace. His grace. It's not anything we're manufacturers, according to His grace. You know, we all want to be successful. But, however, are we seeking success in the right manner? Are we looking to build ourselves up? Or are we looking to give glory to God? Where success relate in your life today? You know, it talks about Christian success as being conformed to the image of God. Being conformed to the image of God. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." We're called to be conformed to the image of God. What's God conforming you to? What's God moving you to? What's God shaping you? Remember, He is the potter. We are the clay. How much do we allow God to transform us and conform us to His image? And since we are trying to conform ourselves to the image that we want to display, how much do we want to conform the image to what we want? I want to be like this way. I want to be this way. God might say, no, I want you this way. I want you this way. You know, success is achieved through growth in Christ. It's through prayer. It's through the study of God's Word. It's through the fellowship with one another and service to the body of Christ. You know, growth requires work. You believe that? Growth requires work. Growth. Marriages require work to grow.
Amen.
Raising children require work to grow.
Amen.
Children raising parents requires work to grow, right? It requires work. You know, faith by itself without works is dead. It's a tough thought in James. You know, our motive gifts many times is that great impulse which incites us to action.
Amen.
It incites us to action. It's a charismatic grace gift that incites us to action. What do we want to do? If we have these motive gifts, are we just going to sit back and just relax? Or are we going to go to action and let these gifts move forward? If you have a gift, we've got to use it. As Bill talked about a little bit in the communion message. You have that gift, you've got to use it. You've got to let it go forth. It's like a quarterback who stands back in the pocket and he's got a great arm to pass the ball, but he never lets go of the ball. What's his motive there? Well, I just want to look good. I want to look good. I want to be the Heisman Trophy guy. But he never passes the ball. Now, we're all members of the body of Christ. We are all members of the body of Christ. Now, each one of us at least has a gift that we can do for the body of Christ. It's been shared last week, it was shared even at communion. That theme is really being percolated throughout the whole body here. That each one of us has that gift. That's what I firmly believe. And we're to exercise those gifts. But the motive gifts are not talents. The motive gifts are not talents, techniques, or abilities, or methods. They're not spiritual ability. They're not fruit, what a person is or what a person has. They're not that. They're not ministries. They're not an office, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher. They're not one of those. They are different areas. Now, let's look at the first motive gift, prophecy. It talks about intuitive or insightfulness about people and situations they really are before God. Now, we're speaking with the truth and those authority. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. That you may, but especially that you may prophesy. That was Paul's call to the Corinthian church. That we all be prophetic in this area. We really encourage the prophecy there. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. We talked about earlier in the spring, we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, to have that spiritual language that we can really go before God and say, God, here's what I want to say to you, Lord God, but I don't know how to say it, so I'm going to, release my tongue to you. And Lord God, I know you can interpret what I'm saying. I know what you can interpret, that whole thing. For no one understands it, but however, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. For he who prophesies, catch these next three phrases, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to all men. To all men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies, edifies the church. The body of Jesus Christ edifies the church of Jesus Christ. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets. Because if you speak out, and we speak out in the body of Christ here, and all of a sudden if somebody speaks out in a spiritual language and has a prophetic word in a tongue that we don't understand, we then pray for the interpretation of that tongue. We pray for that interpretation of that tongue. And we wait for that. We wait and say, okay, God, what are you saying here? And believe it or not, that happens. It happens. God will give a word to somebody that maybe had no idea what that person was saying. So that might start the process off. But look at the practical way that Paul instructs the church about prophecy. He's focused on edification, uplifting somebody. Uplifting somebody. He speaks about exhortation, encouraging somebody. He speaks about comfort there. You know, we're a church that believes in the prophetic word. We are, through the reading of Scripture, proclaiming God's word, singing his songs, as Bob led us off today about singing the song about Jesus. He sings a lot better than I do. But I also believe God desires for a church to be of order. A church to be of order in that area. In our early years of being a prophetic church, we would have someone just say the word joy. We'd have someone just say the word joy. They would wait, okay, joy. Okay, what's going on there? And we'd wait around. And all of a sudden somebody would pick up on another word that would just talk about joy. And it would go all around the congregation. The word would just go around and a theme would be established. A theme would be established of joy. God would just talk about that. It was beautiful. And each prophecy was shortened to the point and built on each other to create that theme. To create that theme. So I believe it's what God wants for the church today, a thread to follow. We pray as an eldership many times in our prayer time at 6:30 that God would just lead that theme, create the theme for the service in the morning. Let the Holy Spirit develop the theme. Let the theme of God be related to whether it's the worship songs, to the preaching of the word, to the prophetic word. Let there be one theme, not a bunch of themes, but one theme. One theme. So we can focus in on that one theme. I don't know about you. I'm not a great multitasker when it comes to spiritual themes. I can multitask a lot in humanness, but I'm not a great multitasker when God's trying to say something to me. I don't want a lot of confusing voices in my mind. I want one voice to share with me what God's theme is. And I want to be able to believe that. And the theme today, more than anything else, was the theme of Jesus. The theme today was Jesus. It began with the Word of God. It began there. It was the Word of God. It was the theme of Jesus. And we understood that. We came across that. We believe that. But what does that mean for each one of us? Sometimes we need to wait and discern that if the word that's in our heart is really following the theme that the Lord has laid out. You know, many times our prophetic word, it's not a teaching, but it's an exhortation. Amen. It's an exhortation. Amen. So, let's look at the next one, serving. Meeting the practical needs of others. That's a motive gift that people have. Demonstrating love and deeds and not works. Seeing what needs to be done and just doing it. Just doing it. I'll give a practical example right now. Pastor Dan's left rear tire is about flat. He'll need somebody to serve him after church. Or a lot of guys will have to pick up his car and have to move because he can't drive it. But, you know, Martha was this way. Martha does, it talks about in Luke 10 and John 12, that Martha does the work herself, tries to make Mary do what she is doing. But she had too many things to do because she couldn't say no. Everybody have a person that can't say no to something? Sue's mother is like that. She just couldn't say no to anything. She would help the person wherever they were at. There are others in this congregation the same way. Workers are not feelers. They try to work to receive others' love. You know, that's not a motive gift that we want to have happen. We're giving just because we want to do it. Jesus Christ said it's better to serve than to be served. It talks about how at the banqueting table, you don't want to sit at the front. You want to have somebody call you up to the front to be a part of that. Teachers themselves today are great servants. They don't get many rewards for the servanthood that they put into the children that they have. I think that's an occupation there of servanthood. Policemen, firemen, different people, doctors, nurses. We've gotten a little bit more about the doctors and nurses over the past few weeks. They are great servants. They're not doing it for their glory. They're doing it to help you. They're doing it to help the patient. They're doing something to help somebody else. They're there to serve. Let's look at the next one, teaching. Proclaiming and explaining the Word of God. Each one of us is a different type of teacher, how we teach. Each one of us is a different type of thing, a motive gift. There are great teachers who have degrees in teaching. There are great people who really like to research the Word of God, to really go into it, to really go into the depth of that. They believe it's foundational to other gifts, to the other gifts of that. It's sort of the catalyst that happens with the other motive gifts. They emphasize the accuracy of words. That's why I'm not a great teacher, because I say words that make no sense to anybody. Darla used to do that. He used to make up words. and now they're in the dictionary, the Wikipedia dictionary. That's one for me. They test knowledge of those who teach them. Many times they go forth and say, okay, what is God saying in that word? What does it mean for that word? What does it mean there? Why is that teacher saying that? It says the teacher basically is judged twice. He's judged twice by the accuracy of his word. Do you really want to be a teacher, be judged twice? That's a motive gift. If you say, yes, I want to do that, then that's what God wants to have you do by his grace. It's by his grace. They want to validate new information by systems of truth. You know, Paul was one who was very much involved in his letters. Paul was a teacher. Paul taught all throughout his letters to what it meant to be a part of the Word of God. We see that in his letters to Corinthians, to the Romans. We see that think about the Ephesians, where he talks about that. The Colossians. He taught. He gave practical advice. None of his teachers were long. If you look at the scriptures, none of his teachers were very long. But they were short and to the point, and they really got to the effect of man's heart. Let's look at the next one, exhortation. To encourage people to abundant life in a very positive way, not in a heavy way. To comfort, console, entreat, beg, implore, and counsel. One to call alongside to help. A gracious healing words versus sharp admonition. Wants teaching to have a practical application. You know, if there's any gift that describes me, I said, I humbly admit that this is about me. I really believe that I want to get people practical advice so they can get up and walk in the Lord. I really want to say, okay, guy, you could do it. This, how can we do it? Well, this is the way we can do it. Step up, move up. That's why this particularly relates to men, to me. I really have a passion for men. I have a passion for this. I really want to have that. God built started a discipleship club. But that's one reason why the mud breakfasts were started years ago, to be a part of that, the practical advice, just to really have men to be able to talk and to be able to be a part of that, to be able to exhort them to grow in that in their walk with Christ. One of the greatest exhorters of all times was Barnabas. I mean, that's one of the things. If you don't know about Northgate, we have what we call a Barnabas Fund. If you don't know what a Barnabas Fund is at Northgate, Barnabas Fund is all the dollar bills and change that goes put into the offering. That goes into our Barnabas Fund for those that need help down the road and might need assistance. We use this fund to be able to help encourage people to get up and move on. Many times we don't have enough money to get them out of the, to help them to what's the word I want to use? To get out of the hole, but we help them start the process of getting out of the hole. We work with this. That's what the Barnabas Fund's all about. So if you have coins or whatever, and you want to throw them into the offering along with your tithes and offering, throw them in. It mounts up. Believe it or not. How many pennies do you have on your dresser today? How many dollar bill, nickels, dimes do you have on your dresser today? How many do you have on your couch? If you cleaned out your couch, you might find some there. But Barnabas helped saints along the way. He helped saints along the way. He was there. He was at support with Paul. He encouraged Paul even when Paul was struggling. And with all the things that was going on, he encouraged Paul along that way. He thought of man giving him another second chance. He did that with Mark. And that's why Paul and Barnabas sort of separated. Barnabas, if you remember the question, Mark sort of left Paul at one point in time. But Barnabas said, you know what? Let's give Mark this another chance. But if you look back at Scripture, keep continuing on in Scripture, what happens then is that Paul and Barnabas came back together. Barnabas was one just to be able to always encourage others, wanted to be a part of that. Okay, let's look at the next one. It says that giving, sharing with others without pretense, freely with delight, generously with liberality. Just giving of ourselves. Many times we have to give up our time. We have to give up our money. We have to give up our just food. I'll tell you a story of one of the things about Northgate Community Church that was a blessing to my family years ago. Years ago. My dad passed away over 20 years ago. My mother basically was going to a Catholic church in Rockville. But the church that ministered her to the most was Northgate Community Church. She had so many meals being brought to her because of people just caring for her. Caring for her. Again, the church basically we have here is about the same size we had at that particular time. Maybe a little bit bigger. St. Raphael's Church was probably 10 times the size. But this church ministered. They gave because they loved her. They loved us. They loved Sue and I. But they gave to her, to them. It meant a lot to her. It really touched her. And really showed the grace of God there to be able to give. And it wasn't a pretense. I mean, we had so many chicken to ban casseroles so we didn't know what to do with. That was a staple out there. Chicken to ban. But they were thinking about sharing material things. Tell us about Luke. Sharing spiritual gifts. In Romans 1. Sharing spiritual gifts. If you've got this gift and you're not sharing it, why do you have it? Why do you have it? Kids today, and I remember when our kids were growing up, they would want these gifts for Christmas. They'd want these gifts for Christmas. And you'd buy it for that thing. And by mid-January, they were gone. They were passe. That was old. That was old stuff. I need new stuff. They weren't using. The joy we have right now as grandparents is we've got a box in our family room that the greatest gifts that our grandkids play with are the kids that the gifts that we gave our kids 30 years ago that are now banned by everybody else because there's radios with wood and stuff like that. You can kill somebody with it, but they play and stuff like that. But that's what they go for. They go for that. Sharing finances for one's wages. Sharing finances. I remember a story about a guy in our church years ago who needed $400. A tremendous couple in the Lord, but they were just struggling. all of a sudden, in the mailbox, it's $400. I have no idea where it came from. Much as like Brother was talking about Pastor Brown, the librarian. There's no idea where the money came from. The giving of that. The only reward we have is in heaven. We're not looking for the reward here. We're looking for the reward in heaven. We're giving. Next one that we look at is leading. Facilitator who likes to help others develop themselves into their ministry. There are people here today, and I know it's a pastoral team, we want to help you develop your ministry. We want to help you grow in your gift that God's calling you to do. Many times you say, well, I don't know my gift. Well, what's your passion? What's your passion? What do you like doing? What do you like doing? Kayla's an electrician. I wouldn't want him to be a plumber. I wouldn't want to try having him be a plumber. He wouldn't want me to do anything. I mean, I could be an electrician. I told Seth I could be that. I watched her father do it. Who doesn't turn off electricity and stuff like that? And I watched her father do it. So I could do that. She says, no, no. But he wants to help develop that. If you go back, we're not going to go through all of it here, but look at that in Nehemiah. Nehemiah talked about he had special zeal for God's people. He sets overall problems to survey needs. He knew others had to do the work. Have you ever felt that, too, where you sometimes have to be, as a leader, you've got to let somebody else do the work? Somebody else do the work. You know, you could do it. You could do it that quick, but you've got to let somebody else do the work. We are now struggling with my family right now because some of the situations we're having is that we're trying to get our financial stuff in order. And I'm trying to get Sue to understand what it means to pay bills. And she gets down there. For me, what takes 15 seconds for me to do, or 15 minutes for me to do, takes an hour and a half. Because it's, and the patience I've got to give, it is patience. It's all of God. But it's something there where I'll say something, I'll pull from this account. But I need to help her to learn that, help her to understand that, and not get frustrated with that. And it has been an emotional time where she says, I count on you, Rick, to do it all. And you might not be around because I might be in the hospital or something else like that. And I now got to put that you in charge. Fortunately, I have some good sons that are helping me in that area. I've got some good brothers that are helping me in that area. But sometimes you have to let them do it themselves. There are struggles for me to do that. Let's look at the last one here, mercy. We manifest practical, compassionate, cheerful love towards suffering members of the body of Christ. How much do you really hurt when a member of the body of Christ hurts? How much do you really hurt for that? How much do you really hurt? How much compassion do you have on it? Pity, you know, involves deeds more than just words. Well, I hope you're doing okay. But why are you struggling in that area? Well, we don't have food. Well, I'll be praying for you. What does that do for somebody? Well, it'd be a lot better if you gave them some food. It'd be a lot better if you brought a dish to them. It'd be a lot better if you helped them. Well, I don't have a car to get to church. Well, I'll be praying for that. It'd be a lot better to say, well, I'll pick you up. I'll be there. I feel your pain. I feel everything about it. We do have a very great church here. I'm not trying to say that. I'm not trying to condemn anybody here. But I think sometimes we need to get a reminder to all of us what it means to have that merciful heart, that mercy heart, to be able to really understand what God's calling us to be. God's calling us to be. It's okay. Maybe it's something that we need to do. How do you go and relate to the person that's on the corner with a sign out there asking for money? Do you go in the far lane? Oh, so you're about to get that one? Or do you? I know it's a question you have to ask yourselves. Okay, what's God calling me to do at that particular moment? Make sure it's God calling you to do something and not you shirking away from the duty that God's calling you to do. You know, one thing about it was the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan there. We read the story. We all know the story. The guy that was the enemy of Israel. The enemy of Israel. But the only person who would help the wounded person there was the guy who was the enemy of Israel. And not only did he just help them, but he gave money to the innkeeper and said, I'll come back and pay more if need be. Everybody else sort of walked to the other side, other side of the road. Where's the Good Samaritan in each one of us? Where's the Good Samaritan in each one of us? So I really come to the conclusion. Every one of these motive gifts come with a question. What's behind your desire to have these gifts? Is it to bring you glory? If it is, then these particular gifts are not given by the grace of God. However, if these gifts are to bring glory to God, then the grace of God is in them. Prophesy, we come to bring glory to God. If we're serving, we're coming to bring glory to God. If we're teaching, we're coming to bring glory to God. If we're exhorting, we're coming to bring glory to God. If we're leading, we're coming to bring glory to God. And if we're mercy, we're coming to bring glory to God. Everything is there. And every one of these, Jesus excelled them. Jesus excelled in every one of these gifts. He excelled not only in the motive gifts, he excelled in the fruits. He was also every office that could be about. He excelled in everything. But he had all the gifts. But his ultimate goal was to bring glory to God the Father. His ultimate goal was to bring glory to God the Father. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. That's where I believe we are in the motive of gifts today. That we need to decrease in our own spirit and have his spirit increase in each one of us that we might bring the glory of God.
Amen.
Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for just what you've done for each one of us. Lord God, our motivation, Father, Lord, need not to be to bring us glory, Father, to bring you glory. Lord God, help us to use these gifts, Father, Lord God, the gifts that you plant in each one of us, Lord God, to help the body of Christ, Father, to minister to the body of Christ, Father, Lord God, that you be glorified. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.